I'm thankful for a loving family that supports me in anything and the best friends that I could ever ask for.
My family and my grandkids.
I'm thankful for my friends and family.
I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful that my son came home from Afghanistan safe and sound.
Thankful for my daughter, Kaylee.
I'm thankful for my family and this girl right here. I'm thankful for my family and God and this girl because she brought me to church and she's the big reason why I got baptized at God's Dock.
I'm thankful for my grandparents and my best friend.
I'm thankful for my friends. My family.
I'm thankful for my mommy and daddy.
For my mom and my dad.
For my mommy and daddy.
For my mom and dad.
I am so thankful for a godly family, for a husband who leads our family, and for children who have already come to know Christ. And I'm just so thankful for parents and grandparents who have given me a legacy of Christ and His love.
I'm thankful for two sons that have really taught me a lot in life, and just for a family here at Hillview that has really helped me grow and mentored me as a man.
I'm thankful for all God's provisions. He's always faithful. He's always provides.
The most thankful for is my salvation and God's love and showing the grace and mercy to me.
Our volunteers at Hillview Heights and those who diligently serve every week.
Thankful for getting baptized this summer.
I'm very thankful for finding this church.
I am very thankful for my church.
For a family that supports me, for a loving wife.
I'm thankful that I'm not in control and I've given it over to the Lord.
I'm thankful for that I have a good church to go to.
I'm thankful for the people that serve in our country so that we can have freedom.
I'm thankful for all the grace God has given.
Thankful for that.
Thankful for Lord Jesus Christ reaching down and lifting me up out of miry clay. And I'm thankful for so many things in my life, but that's the main thing.
Man, it's good stuff. How many of y'all are thankful today? Anybody, you know, we got a lot to be thankful for in this church, in this county. Last week, I don't know if y'all were keeping track, but last week, four out of our five high schools competed in a regional championship. And a lot of those young men play and attend here. And guess what? Bowling Green High School will return again to compete for another state championship. And we got a lot of those boys here. And I want you to know, by Jesus, I can say things like this, Klein. Klein and I were old rivals back in the day. I don't know if we were ever athletes, but we were rivals, okay? And, you know, God has done a lot of great things. A lot of great things in our midst, but we miss them. How many of y'all miss what God is doing in front of you? I was thankful yesterday, Luke. Congratulations. Thank you for a 7-game season. And I got to thinking, Western Kentucky football allows me to see how people really act in this area. We hit a little slump. It's football, Sam. You play, you win, you lose. Everybody does that. Well, Lord, I was up there, and I'm dragging along somebody. You know, they all go into depression. They go, well, you didn't seem to be too depressed. I said, heck, I went 0-12. I said, you need to know that 0-12 taught me something. It taught me to appreciate every game. Because for a long time, I got to coach several winning teams, and I got very guilty of this, man. I just expected to win. I never celebrated just the next thing and next thing and next thing, never embraced that thing, and missed a whole lot of life because I was just living out of my own expectations instead of really celebrating what was going on. Now, I want to challenge you that today. In your lives, how many of y'all are celebrating the Jesus that saved you, or are you just clicking the days off? Are you truly celebrating the Jesus Christ that's given you new life? That's what Thanksgiving was about. You got a life. You ought to pause. You ought to give thanks. There's a lot of great things going on in your midst. But I want to challenge you. I bet a lot of us talk more about what we don't have than what we do have. Just do a little mind inventory there. How many of y'all complain more about what's not going on and give very little thanks to what is going on. Have you ever gone by the gas pumps and said, well, Lord, have mercy. The gas has gone up another 50 cents, but thank God I can still afford it at this moment. Or do we go, the world's coming to an end? Here's what I want you to know. If the news becomes your guide for life, you will be depressed for a long time. But it's not our guide to life. What is our guide to life? We claim to follow who? We claim it. Now we're going to see if we're going to do it. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. And I want to get us a little attitude today, okay? As we come into the holiday season, we got to wake up. Lord have mercy. We had a fight in Target parking lot right here in Boneville, Kentucky. Now, that messed with me. You know, hey, you know, out in California, if they do crazy things, no offense to you, Senator, but out there, I expect y'all to do crazy things. But here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, our own Target parking lot, we were kung fu fighting. Crazy. But why? I'm going to talk about that, and I'm going to give, watch this. Today's a short sermon, so I want you to, how many of y'all got a short mind for a short sermon, okay? I want you to grip this. And let's put it in motion. I'm more concerned that this be in motion. All right? You got to get your rejoice on. You got to get your rejoice on. Clancy, get your rejoice on. You've been given the greatest father in the world. You need to thank God for that constantly, what that's done for your life. You see what I'm saying? Get your rejoice on. How many of you really look? There's more stuff in front of you that God has given you. And I mean, it's priceless. It's priceless. But we miss it. Because we're too busy wanting something else. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 15. Now it points us in a direction. I want you to get your direction. Your direction should be about God and each other. Look what it says. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for, but always strive to do what is good for each other. And for what? Everyone else. If you did that in your life, how would that go? How would this week be if you just decided to live by that truth of Scripture? Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Why? It stops the rejoicing. Now, I'm going to give you three things today. Go ahead and write these down, and we're going to hash them out, and we're going to have an altar call, okay? Three things today. Number one. These are the things that block a spirit of joy, a spirit of rejoicing, a spirit of thanks in our life. Number one, it's the my way syndrome. My way syndrome is a bad disease. My way, my way. How many of you all are consumed with your way? Come on, you say things like this. It's my way or the? Oh, y'all got that one? My way or? Else. That you've heard that one. I always wondered what else was. Haven't you ever wondered that people look at you and say, well, it's my way or else. I always want to go, else what? And then they go like this. Well, I tell you one thing. I'll just walk out of here. I'd choose else. But they never tell you what else is. Carrie, I know you've never said that, have you? I'll tell you what else. I've said that before. I looked at Elizabeth. I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to do this or else. She never asked me what else was. I didn't know what it was. I just said else. It's not else. It's else. My way. How many of you always want your way? Now, I really want us to get down in this because this is real. When you got to live out your way all the time, other people around you get miserable. They just do. And that's not what God's made us to be. How many of y'all are glad to know that God has not made us to be miserable people? Somebody said, man, that's good. I mean, come on, this is about living. Jesus Christ didn't come to earth so that we could be mad at each other. He said, I've come and I want you to make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Why do people always got to pay somebody back? That's exactly right, Tyler. They want their way, don't they? So we got to be careful with the way. My way is not God's way. Would you agree? How many of y'all agree? My way is not God's way, but I got a way. How many of y'all got a way? Now, Elizabeth and I, occasionally in our marriage, I have to confess this, occasionally in our marriage, just occasionally, our ways have collided. We've had a couple of times where our ways have had head-on collisions. Because I wanted what? My way. And she wanted her way. And whose way was better? My way. But see, here's the problem. Here's why we can't have relationships. Because if everybody starts singing that song, I did it my way, we end up nowhere. True? Y'all remember the song Frank Sinatra, Elvis, you know? Elvis, his swan song, you know, at the end of his life is, I did it what? My way. Overweight, dead on a toilet. That's the way the dude ends. Dies on a toilet. Not that that's a bad place to die, but it's not where you thought Elvis would die. But he did it what? There you go. So eventually, if we're going to talk about my way, then we need to put your way in evaluation. Yeah? Does my way work like God's way? No. Will my way get me to where God can get me? No. No, my way won't get me where God get me. It will not. It will not. I will not naturally go the way of God. See, this is where you all think you do. You don't. I don't. I naturally go my way. Left up to me, I'm going to please me. How many of y'all are on that same page? And so which leads me to the second blocker of a full, thankful life. You got to get rid of these blocks. I'm preparing you for the holidays. How many of y'all got a bad case of the gets? Listen, I live in a nation full of what? Get. It's even in a song. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to get. Y'all didn't know I heard those songs, did you? Do you see all the kids? Oh, crap, he knows that. Yeah, a few others, too. Look at your parents. They were going, yeah, and I've heard it, too. The whole bunch, but what's it putting in our heads? It's spun a verse in the heads of the next generation that they ought to get theirs. But it's not earned. No song says this, I'm going to earn mine. I'm going to work all time. I've not heard that rap song yet. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to do what it takes. Maybe I need to start graduate rap. What would happen if you do it God's way? Hold on, I'm going to get. Now listen, we eat up with the gets. I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. Some of you already, now listen, if you're an adult in this service and you're thinking like this, you got some altar time today. When you think about Christmas, if you are an adult, I'm not going to put an age to that. It's a mentality. Let me rephrase. If you're a parent, okay, and all you can think about at Christmas is what you're going to get, you got some serious work. Because as a parent, your Christmas ought to be what? On the give. Now, if you're 5 years old and all you can think about for Christmas is what you're going to get, that's age appropriate. By the time you're 18, you got this, Andrew, I'm giving you a youth standard. When all of our wonderful young people, teenagers, morph into whatever they've morphed into at 18 and are ready to be launched out the ramp into the wild, wild world of college, school, technical schools, and all those kind of things, man, we ought to have at least a little give in us. And without a little give, guess what? We're going to be miserable human beings the rest of our lives. If it's about what I get, guess what you'll get? You'll always get something you don't want. Always. You know what I mean? Always. And so maybe the world's not about my get. It's not about getting it. It's about giving it. It's about giving life. It's not about getting life. So two things that'll block you, man, from a wonderful, wonderful full time in this holiday. First of all, a bad case of the my ways. My ways are the highways. And number two, a mentality that gets all the time. See, because we want to get people back too, don't we? It said, make sure nobody pays anybody back wrong for wrong. But what do we say? How many of y'all gonna get somebody? How many of y'all ever gonna get somebody? Come on, I got seventh grade girls in here. Y'all get everybody. I mean, when Clacy was in seventh grade, I thought to myself, I said, self, we could win any war in the world if we would unleash junior high girls on that country. Forget the military. Send seventh grade girls and tell them we're not going to pull them out till they back off. We'd win. Stronger than an atomic bomb. You girls know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. I've read some of the stuff y'all do. Where three or more girls are gathered in the seventh grade, one of them's getting beat up on. One of them's being talked about. One of them's being punished. Because you girls, y'all mean. I mean, y'all like, boom, come at packs. I mean, you know, five girls, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? You know, guys, it was simple back in my day. Now, this day's faded a long time and never will return. We just went out back to school, boom, boom, boom. You know, tagged each other's jaw, and it was all. We didn't draw any guns, knives, or anything like that. We just, you know, just set the pecking order. And we'd come back in, the teacher would go, what's the matter with your head? I fell on a swing. We lied about it, which was wrong, Sam, but we set the pecking order. Everybody was cool back then. Not today. I told my kid, I said, don't swing at anybody. They'll pull an AK-47 on you and shoot you. I live in a different world today. I live in a world that watches people even think it's okay to take another person's life if they get in the way of their life. That's how consumed we become with the gets. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Be careful. Don't get people back. Now, here's what the Bible says. I'm going to give you a couple of verses. You ready? This is one of them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Does anybody know the second part of that verse? See, that's why I'm trying to get y'all to Bible study so y'all can get this good stuff up in you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added to you. A lot of us don't have what God wants us to have because we won't seek what God wants us to seek. Guess what we seek? My own way. Guess what else we seek? What I want. What I want. How many of y'all even going down the road and all of a sudden you see, you know, some sign on the side of the road? It could be the sign of a Whopper, a Big Mac, or an Arby's special. And immediately you break out in convulsions and you wheel right in. You know, you don't need it because you just ate lunch an hour ago. But you see it and what do you say to yourself? I want it, so I ought to get it. Sometimes it's real life, man. Seek ye first. Now watch this. What if you did this? If you didn't get it, then you wouldn't get it so you could go ahead and wear it. See how it saves money? But not us. We think if it's in front of us and we want it, we ought to what? We ought to have it. We ought to get it. And listen, that's driving us out of our minds. It's driving us crazy. We can't even enjoy the holidays that we've been given. We open up the stores on Thursday so we can get more money. We've gone get. We've gotten so much, we're going to get it. Somebody following me? We've gotten so much, we're going to what? Get it. We got to be careful with these mentalities. Now, I can't change the whole world, but guess what? I can change me. I can look and say, Lord, don't I need to seek ye first the kingdom of God a little bit better? And he'll say, yes. Lord, what about your way? That needs to be activated in you. Be careful with the gets. They're killers. Quit trying to get people back. I'll give you another verse in the Bible. Here's what God says. Vengeance is mine, says the what? You stay out of the vengeance game, you stay in the giving moan. I'm telling you, rejoice. I'm going to blow y'all away, man. If we would live out this faith, there would be people coming to Christ by the millions. But guess what we do? We'd rather sing songs about it, write books about it, have special conferences on it, than we would just go live it. Really, we need to live this. And so I'm going to give you a challenge. Today's the 25th, isn't it? Am I correct? It's the 25th. If I'm accurate, 30 days from now, it'll be Christmas. So I'm going to give you two things. From now to Christmas, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to say, wait a minute, I want to get out of my way and get into what? God's way. I'm really going to consider God's way in the decisions I make. For 30 days. If you don't want to do it after that, you can quit. 30-day money-back guarantee here, okay? Try his way for 30 days. Now, second thing, quit thinking about what you need to get. And I want you to start asking the question, I wonder what I need to give. That'll change your Christmas. What do I need to give? Because here's the problem. We all want to take. Would you agree with me that we become a group of people that are more takers than givers? Yeah? Just want to take it. Take, take, take. We're all on the what? Take. I mean, I've come to the point that I have almost become nauseated watching young people who tell me they're called in the ministry on the take. Andrew, you've heard my soapbox here 100 times. I have to interview people. Mike, you've interviewed people. I've had young ministerial students that have come into my office for an interview. The first thing they have asked me is how much vacation time this job will offer. Now, for you young people that are fixing to graduate and get out and do jobs, let me just give you a heads up. If the guy that's interviewing you looks a lot like me, little ears, beady eyes, big nose, little gray, been doing something for like 3 decades, and you tell him about your vacation, what you're really concerned, the first thing you're concerned about is your personal vacation time, it won't be a long interview. Now, because I'm a graceful dude, I went ahead and took this guy out to lunch, and he goes, what do you think? I said, well, I'll call you back in a few days. Hadn't made that call yet. I'm not going to hire somebody that asked, why would somebody ask me that? Because their mind is on the take. You see, everything they do is what they take out of it. You see, if you become a taker, what you actually become is a destroyer. If in your body, if you get takers in your body, John Paul, help me with this. I'm kind of moving in toward the sciences here. Anatomy, physiology. Elizabeth, help me. You're a nurse. And I'm not going to get you in trouble either. I'm not going anywhere to get you in trouble here. But if I have something that enters my body that takes from the nourishment of my body, what do we call that? A parasite. And here's what parasites do. They have to have a live body to what? Live. And they live off, but they don't live into. And see, we don't need to have a parasite faith. We don't live off Jesus. We live in Jesus. We're not called to be a parasite of the kingdom. We're called to be the proclamation of the kingdom. The example that God brings things to life. God didn't tell us to take it. Why? Why do you think, Steve? Because he's already given it. So let me show you the antidotes. You ready? It's found in verse 5. Verse 16 tells us how to live this out. And I'm really about finished. Y'all are going to be blown away today. You're actually going to get to the restaurants at the same time as Broadway United Methodist Church. So please. And I don't want any fights in the parking lot out there between the Hillview folks. Okay, no, just check us out. Now check us out. Here's what it says in Scripture to do. Here's what it tells us to do. Rejoice always. You see, one of the things that we don't do in the church is we don't rejoice. People get around us and they go, man, those are the prudiest people I've ever seen. They get around our marriages and they'd rather stay divorced. They get around our kids and they say, no thanks. You know why? We've allowed those three deadly things to seep into the church. My way, it's about what I'm going to get. It's about what I'm going to take. I've even heard this at Hillview. I know y'all are going to be surprised, but I've heard people walk out of Hillview and go, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Yeah, I'd like to check what you put in it. Well, it got quiet then, didn't it? I had one guy, he just kept passing me all the time here, and he goes, well, I just don't get anything out of your sermons. I said, you can't get much for a quarter. In other words, if you're that shallowly invested, you'll never understand me because I'm not a shallow preacher. I'm not impressed with crowds. I'm impressed with followers. I don't think you get points for showing up. I think you get points for following him. Does that make sense? And I want you guys and girls to live. This is one of the most exciting sermons I get to preach to because guess what? You guys can really change some stuff. Can you imagine young marriages that were on the give, what that would do to the world? Dream with me, university students. Can you manage just a small group of young people that weren't selfish? How ridiculously radical would that be? You wouldn't have to wear WWJD bracelets anymore. You wouldn't have to make all these t-shirts. You wouldn't have to throw your hair 14 different colors. You would be living such an extraordinary life that people would go, what is making you happen? See, God didn't call us to project radical. He called us to be involved in it, to make a difference, to give to people. That's a radical lifestyle. How many of y'all sometimes just look at the world and go, they think I'm crazy? People think I'm nuts. Because guess what? You know what? I believe any of y'all can be saved here. I'm nutty. Because guess what some people have said? There's no way that so-and-so can change. You know what I say? Really? Y'all may not believe this. It's hard for y'all to believe. I know. When Elizabeth and I got married, most people said we wouldn't stay together very long. I don't know why they said things like that. But you know what? They were looking at who I was, and they were looking at who Elizabeth was. But let me tell you who they forgot to look at, who Jesus is. Most people didn't think I'd graduate from Western, me included. But God had a different story. That's what I'm just showing you in a little life. Can you imagine what God could do in your big life? Can you imagine what God would do with us if we just released? But we got to get rid of three things before we can release. You see, you can't release until you let go of some mentalities that are crushing your life. Number one, it's not your way, it's his way. Number two, get out of the gets and get into the gives. And number three, it's not about what you can take, it's about what you can give into it. Just change those three things, and I bet you'll start living like this. Check this verse out, underline, it's a cool verse. Students, underline this. Fixing to be graduated students, underline this. It works. Rejoice always. You know what I had to do? Sometimes I listen to the news too much. I had to shut the news off for a week. No news. Fasted it. You know why? I started to listen to it. You listen to the news long enough, guess what? You'll think it's true. Ain't none of it true. God hadn't given the final word yet. You see, but when you go back to the scripture, God gives the final word. You say, well, I don't believe God's going to do it. Well, he is. And I can't wait for all you that don't believe to find out that God could care less what you believed. Amen. I'm serious. I hope I got some serious religious intellect standing beside me. I go, you missed it on that one, didn't you, Doc? That looks like a trumpet to me. That looks like a literal return to me. Looks like I'm not staying. Looks like you are. Because your way's not his way. That's why you can rejoice when nobody else can rejoice. You can pray continually. That means even when you don't want to. How many of y'all pray when you don't want to? I hear this sometimes. Not out of young people, out of adults. I go, well, you need to pray. Well, I don't feel like it. Is that what it says? Pray when you feel like it. Or does it say pray continually? How many of y'all have ever prayed when you didn't feel like it? How many of you all have even prayed prayers like this? I prayed prayers like this. Lord, you need to fix Elizabeth. Hallelujah. I prayed that prayer, hadn't you? Yeah. And then Elizabeth scared me because she just looked at me and said, Lord, may your will be done. That'll scare your prayer. No, to pray that the right thing, God's thing would come forth. Look what it says, whatever you do, pray continually. You ready for this? You ready for this? Make a difference with who you are. Give thanks in all circumstances. You got to start giving thanks. You got to start giving thanks. He said, Pastor Harris, it's not the way I want it. Not the way I want it either. But guess what the Bible says? Give thanks in what? All circumstances. I'm telling you, you start smiling. I did that this week. I looked at all the things I had to be thankful for. Man, I had a long list. Now, I could just as easily looked at all the things that hadn't gone my way, and I'd have had another long list. But the Bible told me to be thankful for everything. Yeah. Yeah. How many of y'all thankful you got a house? How many of y'all thankful you got an apartment? Or how many of y'all going, well, I think it ain't the one I want. Bathroom ain't big enough. How many of y'all have ever been out to eat with somebody like that? Come on, be honest with me. How many of y'all have ever been out to eat with another human being? By the time you got done with the meal, you could have choked. Yes. And please, if you go out to eat with Elizabeth, now don't act like this. It just kills me when you go out to eat and you're with another person, you know, you're another couple, and the person can only find something to whine about. I had a buddy of mine, I'm going to tell you who she was, but he married this woman. I mean, she drove me out of my mind because nothing was right. The car wasn't right. The temperature wasn't right. The sidewalk wasn't right. The door didn't open right. It wasn't the right server. It wasn't the right silverware. It wasn't the right temperature of food. It should have been like, hey, I'm telling you, by 20 minutes, I'm telling you, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd had to have a drink. I ain't lying to you. It was that bad. It was getting that bad. It was getting close. Because guess what? I'd never been around somebody where nothing was right. Have y'all ever been like that? Imagine what God feels like when all he hears is what we don't have, when he looks at all he has given. So you know what I'm asking you guys to do? Because I love you very much, man. I want y'all to live a full and abundant life. I want you to pick up what you've been given and quit crying about what you do not have. College students, you get to go to school. If you got a loan, praise God. Nobody used to have loans. We used to do radical things like go to class and work all day. You didn't get to play Xbox for 7 hours. Those 7 hours were taken up with a job. And you're saying, well, there are no jobs. Baloney. I walked in Hardee's the other day. Help wanted. Help. They probably can't find any help. What they can find is somebody that'll stand there with a Hardee's hat on and want to draw a check. And then get mad when the boss tells them what to do because this is what spins in their mind. It ought to be their way. They ought to get what they want. And if they don't get it, then they ought to be able to take what they want. Now, get down here with me. Is this not the world we've entered into? Well, here's the deal. For the world, makes sense to me. But a follower of Jesus can't enter that world. Because the follower of Jesus had been changed by the grace of God to want what God wants, to give what God gives, and to receive what God has given. You see, we're not takers. We're what? Receivers. So that we might be givers. But if you're a getter, you got to be a taker. If you're a receiver, you can be a giver. So it starts like this. Then you're capable of this, to rejoice always, to give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will. Look what it says. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That took less than 40 days to find God's purpose. In fact, I never did buy all this bogus stuff, all these people getting all these prayer conferences trying to find God's will. It's in the book. You know what we don't like? God's will doesn't line up with ours. And when we're doing all that searching for God's will, most of the time what we're doing is trying to find peace with a God that creates difficulty. You'll never do it. By the way, I just want to help y'all. I'm going to relieve you. How many of y'all have ever been, some of y'all go to these prayer groups, and everybody's looking for peace. Y'all ever heard that? Any of you ever heard that? I just need to find peace with God. I'm just not at peace with that decision. Let me help you. God could care less. What do you think about that? There's not one time in the Bible that God said, well, I just hope you're at peace, Rachel. God is crazy. Don't be following God if you don't want God crazy. God get a 90-year-old woman pregnant. Don't laugh. Ask Sarah. God built a boat in the desert. God will go before the most powerful, wealthy government on the face of the earth and get up in a king's face and say, let my people go. God will stretch out his arms and die on a stick of wood through the politics and an unjust court system of a Roman justice and sacrifice his own self and come back to life 3 days later so that every one of us in this room could be saved. That doesn't sound like a comfortable God to me. But it sounds like one that we need to rejoice with constantly, give thanks to continually, and guess what? And follow him always. Has this made sense today? How many of y'all going to shake the gets out of you? Whoa. Some of you need to come to the altar today and say, Lord, especially you kids, y'all got Christmas get critters from Christmases of the past. God, pull the gets out of me, and may I have your desire. How many of y'all need your way pulled out of you a little bit? God, may I surrender to your will, your way. How many of y'all need this? I need to quit taking it. And I need to start receiving it. That makes sense? God brought some of you here today to be saved. Isn't that cool? I think that's just awesome. Every Sunday that God brings somebody here to go to heaven. Blows me away. I thank you for it. I thank God for it every day. I take none of it for granted. I thank God for you all. That God made a church like this happen in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Amen. Can I be honest? I wasn't sure it was going to happen. I knew God said do it, but I thought y'all would have fired me when it got crazy. And now look around. It's really crazy. People from all over the world who've been changed by one living God. Now, Bill Maher can call it a myth. I call it God. And I pray that Bill Maher would see that my myth is living. My myth was crucified. Risen and alive. But if he can never see that, I can't make him see it. But I pray that he would see it in Jesus. Just straight up. So he's an atheist. Yeah, he's got the freedom to be an atheist. I just wish Christians were as vocal as atheists. I love my atheist friends. I love having a great time with them. They go, well, you offend me. I said, well, you offend me. Now we're doubly offended. And they go, well, you don't tell me I can't be an atheist. I said, it's none of my business. And they said, well, do you believe I'm going to hell? I said, absolutely. And they said, well, you're making a judgment. I said, no, I'm stating a fact. Well, what if there's not a hell? I said, you're in good shape. And I'm in good shape. What if there is? He goes, well, I'm a good person. I said, according to who? He said, me. See, all good people are only good according to themselves. Have you noticed that? They're lousy judges. Now throw God's standard up. And guess what we all become? Sinners. Sinners in need of grace. All of us. And now none of us can judge, but all of us can follow. None of us can point fingers, but all of us can hold hands. None of us can tell each other how bad we are, but we can all rejoice in how good God is. So today I hope you'll go like this. Lord Jesus, just what Vanessa did, man, she was awesome. She's been obedient today. Guess what she said? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Y'all think Jesus would do that? I know he will. Virginia, he did that for you, right? Did you say it in Spanish or English? You've said it in both, haven't you? See? He can understand either one, can't he? And he saved in either one of them, hadn't he? Hallelujah! Today, some of y'all need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. And guess what Jesus is going to say? Forgiven. Thomas, does it make sense? No. Being married doesn't make sense. Having children doesn't make sense. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. Why are Brussels sprouts good for you? Why couldn't chocolate be good for you? Why is everything fried supposed to be bad? I think that's a conspiracy on the South. Make sense? It's not about it making logic to you. It's about, do you agree with the statement from heaven that Jesus could save you? Some of y'all need to come forward today. You know you do. You need to get rid of this stuff that's holding you back from a full and abundant life. If you're always thinking about what you're going to get, come ask God to get rid of that. If you always got to have it your way, ask God to show you His. If you're always taking something, ask God what you might give in the next 30 days, and I bet it'll change your life. Amen? All right, y'all are more than wonderful. Let's stand up. God's wanting to do something great, amazing. Elizabeth, good to see you here today. Thanks for serving Haiti. Thank you for loving people that a lot of people won't love. Hello, but guess who will? I mean, God's crazy. He'll send somebody from Lawrenceburg, Kentucky to Haiti. That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. D, put a boy from Warren County on a road all over the world. That doesn't make what? Turn Jeff Reynolds into a professor. Crazy. Pray with me, Lord. Somebody here today, and more than one, will receive Christ. Jesus, I'm thankful that you're willing to save us. Lord, I'm thankful that in the midst of a world that thinks you're gone, you're still here. Lord, I just want to give you thanks today that we can't run you off. We can't tell you what to do or where to go. You will be God, and that's enough, Lord. And so, God, I ask now for those that you're drawing. Some brought here today. Some that thought they were just coming to church with their mom or their dad for Thanksgiving. You are speaking grace into their life. Come on, guys, you know who you are today. If you need to be saved, why don't you let Jesus draw you? Tell him, Lord Jesus, here I am. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be connected to you. Guess what he'll do? He'll do it, won't he, Lenny? Will he do it if you're from Louisiana and got long hair?
That's right.
What about if you got tats? Oh, good, good. Jesus will save long hair and tattoos. He'll save short hair and clean cut. He'll save athlete and non-athlete. He will save super academic and non-academic. God save us all. But you've got to receive it. If you've received that, let's come talk about it. If you need to be baptized, let's get that done. This is what I tell you, my friends. I love y'all. Y'all need to understand, I love y'all. I wish I didn't love y'all, but I love y'all. I do. I don't like you. I love you. That's different. I don't want anybody to go to hell from Hillview. And I know I'll tick you off to get you to think about it. I've seen some of y'all mattering hornets at me. That's fine. You believe me? Believe me, I've been cussed by some of the finest people that walked the face of the earth. And I went to sleep that night because the cross is still rugged and the tomb is still empty and Jesus is still Lord. And nobody can change that. Nobody will ever change that. That's why I follow Jesus. Now will you? Let's really have an altar. Let's prepare for the Advent. Let's have such a Christmas that CNN has to fly in here and do an interview on what God's doing. It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I see old Anderson. What do you think's made this happen? He'll be in that little tight black t-shirt. I'll say, Coop, it's the real Jesus in this house. Go ask the folk. Don't ask me, go ask the folk. Imagine what would happen. If we received, if we gave, and we released God's way on this city for 30 days. Reverend Tooley, I believe that would be more than a Merry Christmas. It might be a star indicating where Jesus still lives, in the hearts of his people. Lord, bring us to your altar, and through that altar, bring us to your way. Get us over our way. Get us into your way through your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, as the Lord brings y'all forward, may you be blessed and may you be thankful. Listen, if you're convicted right now, you ought to thank God that he still messes with you. That's good. That's good news. I'm not talking about feeling guilty. That won't get you anywhere. I'm talking about coming and letting God speak to you. Come on, we're not going to take all afternoon, but we are going to take a moment for those that need to come and just pray. Those that need to be baptized, those that need to receive Christ. There's a lot of folks. Come on, you know if it's you. Come on right now. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on. Come on, no more holdbacks. Come on.